Okay, so now, Bava Kama Paraglav Mishnah Base. These are more like kind of what's called exceptional cases in terms of liabilities when it comes to Shein and Regel. It says, Hanicha Bachama. If you left the animals, let's say your sheep, not just a nailed corral, that was a previous Mishnah, but a corral in the sunshine. So if that's the case, so then the animals will just, they hate sitting in the sun baking away, and they'll do anything they could in their power to desperately get away. And in which case, a person will be responsible for damage they do, even if he not only locked their standard previous Mishnah, you know, 3-star Shmir Pachusa, standard guardianship, but even if he locked a Shmir Ma'ula, meaning like it's 5-star, an expert would say the animal cannot get out from this. Even so, if the animal manages to get out, he'll be chayav. Even though an animal expert would say it cannot get out, because the animal will do whatever is in its possible, it'll, you know, move heaven and earth to get out of the sun because it's in distress. I got the example I gave is the backpacker who got his arm pinned by the boulder against the rock. So anybody will tell you, no human being can get out. He's stuck. He's not getting out of there. He's pinned down by the rock. His arm's against the wall. Yeah, but if push comes to shove, he'll cut off his arm to get out. So the same thing, if push comes to shove, the animals will eat their way through the wall. They'll do whatever they have to do to get out of the sun. So then you set up a situation where the animal will do whatever it could do and anything could happen. So now you're responsible. Oh, shemasra lecherishot v'katan. The same goes if you gave over to a cherish, the deaf mute, or the shot to the mentally incompetent, or the katan, the child, to watch the animals. You lock the animals up properly in the gate with a lock, padlock, everything's good. You tell this kid, you know, just do me a favor. As an extra precaution, you watch the animals, don't get out. But what that's going to do is set it up that, of course, the kid is not going to get it and cause mischief, and he's going to unlock the gate or play with the animals or irritate them. And the next thing you know, the animals will get up. Same with the Cherasher or Shota. These people don't have proper das, they don't know what they'll do. So even though you think you're adding an extra Shmira by telling these incompetent people to watch your animal, what you're really doing is setting up a disaster. So once you set things up, that things will go wrong, so then you're responsible. So in all those cases, the Yatza Vazika, either, you know, all those two cases, if the animal gets out and causes damage, Chayav, the owner is responsible. Now, new din, like should be like key, like a new paragraph. Masr la roa. If you hand over your sheep to a shepherd, nichnas roa tafta. The roa, the shepherd, steps into your place, meaning into your footsteps, and he's responsible if the under his watch the sheep get out. He's responsible. If you're talking about a cow goring, and then it doesn't matter if the cow is a tom under the original owner, it's a tom under the shepherd. If it's a muud, it's a muud under the shepherd. He takes full responsibility as the roa. The Gemara asks, in the fourth parak, we learned that already, that if you give it over to a watchman, paid or unpaid, etc., then they stand in your shoes. So what's the chiddush here? So the chiddush here says usually the din is that a shomer is not allowed to hand over guardianship to another shomer. So if I ask you to watch my sheep, you can't say, well, Yitzhak's a nice guy, he's responsible, I'll go to Avim Mincha, Yitzhak, you watch the sheep. You can't do that. And if you do, then it's not my problem. When I come back to my sheep who cause damage, they're missing, I'm holding you responsible, you can say, well, Yitzhak agreed to watch them, he's a good guy. I didn't give it to him, I gave it to you. So normally the rule is, a shomer may not pass it on to another shomer. That's against the rules. I chose you for a reason, I didn't choose him. But the exception is when it comes to shepherds, in that time and that place of the Mishnah. Because why? The standard practice was, and everyone knew this was standard practice, there's like this central, you know, the main, you know, senior shepherd. And the way of the world, the way the thing works is he will then have to send the flocks to different parts of the hills to go graze. And he'll have his understudies and all the little, you know, apprentice shepherds take out this little sheep, this little, you know, flock over here, and they'll go there, each under a different shepherd. Since everyone knows that, you're essentially agreeing, even without, you know, signing the waiver, you're agreeing that the main shepherd will divvy your sheep amongst some other of his understudies, and they're going to take over and they'll be responsible. So that being the case, the mission speaking, even in such a case, not only does the senior roa, the senior shepherd, step into your shoes, but even the junior ones do. If I come and say to you, you know, I want my sheep back, and you say, oh, I gave it over to Yitzhak, Yitzhak's the understudy, that's legitimate, because that's, I knew going into the deal that you're going to give it to somebody, here it's Yitzhak. So my claim will be Yitzhak. No, Yitzhak doesn't like that. Enough lagina, new like a whole new paragraph here. But if you know what you're getting into, it's reasonable. You could speak it out ahead of time. That's the way it works.
I've got 100 different shepherds to work for. Which one? So which one? And you don't like them.
You know what? Here's a, you know, like a,
how does they introduce you to the person or something?
there's a carpenter, just for example, I just say, remember, I gave an example last time about like the babysitting service, but I got a better example now, or a different example. There's a carpenter that lives on Ilo, and he's excellent, in Eli Cohen. You see, he's got a little sign up there, he's got this beautiful wooden, I don't know what it is, like gazebo he built. He's an excellent carpenter. So I phoned him to put up my, whatever, in front of my house, my little sukkah, essentially. So what happens is Eli Cohen comes, takes measurements, blah, blah, blah. Then the next day, who shows up? Like, some jokers, I don't know who they are. Like, they're not Eli Cohen, they're his underlings. They work for him, but like, you know, he's the senior guy in the job, he takes responsibility, and like, to get the deals, and he's like, maybe he made the plans, whatever. He came to check the work was good. But the bottom line is, the next day, these guys showed up. So I didn't, that's how it works.
He takes responsibility, so.
No, he looked, but if these guys in my backyard would break a window or something, so he could say, they're grown up men, you have to sue them, what do you want? Of course he would say that.
No, why? Why not him?
Because
you're contracting with him. You hire a couple of men, you're not going to go after his workers.
It depends. Well, it depends what the setup is. But if the setup is that he's the designer, then he sends particular people to do the job, so then I paid the workers, I didn't pay him. Maybe they return it to him, I don't know what the arrangement with him is, but he didn't come by to collect the money, I paid it to those guys. He sent them out. So that's how it is here. If you know you're getting into that deal, so then that's how it works. New paragraph, Kilo.
You pay the shepherds. You don't pay the main guy.
No, I don't know. Not necessarily. But you know going into it, that's what's going to happen. No. So then you've agreed to it. That's the way it works. And again, if you don't like it, you can tell them. Don't give it to. You know, like when I walk into Starbucks. So they have this. I always just get like a regular black plain house coffee. Which costs like, you know, $50 or whatever. So, I'm teasing. You know, it costs like $2, but whatever. So yeah, no milk, no sugar, just something. Anyways, so I was walking, I'm like, I'll take your house blend. That's because of the way they're brewing. I'm like, oh, except for Yukon. Like, that I'm not taking, because the Yukon blend is disgusting. It's disgusting. Anyways, so then they have to give me the other one. Usually it's like usually the Xmas blend, the breakfast blend, and those one. They usually have like a backup one. The Yukon is called the Yukon. It's disgusting as far as I'm concerned. So you could go again and say, I'll take your standard package, but not if it's going to go to so-and-so. And then you've made an agreement. But here, this is the agreement. Okay. Now, new paragraph, new story here. Nafalagina vananas. What happens if you're walking your sheep down the road and one of them stumbles and falls, and when it trips, like falls into this guy's backyard? So that's an onus. The animal shouldn't have slipped. I didn't make it slip. I shouldn't have to pay for that. But you damage something, okay, it's an accident. What do you want from me? It's an accident. I was walking. What I was supposed to do. Now, that's true. But if it's the animal's nanness, meaning the animal's benefits, and it can benefit in one of two ways. It can benefit either because, like, once it's there, it just like started eating the tomatoes or by its mouth. Or, you know, the animal could have, like, you know, broken its neck, but the tomatoes, you know, instead broke its fall, the animal survived. So I could, either of those two ways, I can get benefit from my neighbor's tomato patch. So then, mishalemis mashananis. Even though I don't pay nezek, because I didn't do anything wrong, I wasn't irresponsible. And if something bad happened, like our attitude has been throughout the whole of Nezikin, that Hashem wanted you to get a punishment, you the victim, but all I have to do is pay for my negligence, which I wasn't negligent. Okay. At least the golden rule, this is the principle across the board, even when a person isn't responsible and doesn't have to pay for damages because he wasn't negligent, if he benefited some way, at least he, the owner of the damaging property, has to compensate. He can't like make a buck on the back of the victim. So at least he has to compensate the victim in as much as he benefited. So in this case, now since I was going to have to feed my sheep lunch, but I don't anymore because my sheep had lunch near our backyard, thanks to this fall and ate your tomatoes, so I'm off the hook of feeding my sheep lunch. At least I have to pay you the cost of what it would have cost me to feed my sheep lunch. Remember, we saw this before, it's machlokas, lahalach all the way down to Raman, the Shulchan Aruch, exactly how you calculate that. There's two basic opinions from the Gemara already. Is it just the cheapest food you could give your sheep, which would be, let's say, hay, or is it like is it sort of standard sheep food that you purchase like very cheap, like wholesale, like, you know, barley meal, like on the super discount. That's a machlokas, but anyways, whatever it is.
But tomatoes are very expensive.
So he's a loser. The victim's losing big time. Yeah, we can assume tomatoes are much more expensive than hay or wholesale, you know, barley feed. So that's the point. That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. That he's not getting compensated for his total loss. But at least to the extent that I benefited, Mishlemis Mashananis, I pay for what I benefit. At least I give you the cost of what it is to feed my sheep lunch. That much I do have to give you. Okay? Now, yarda kadarka, if on the other hand, the sheep just went down in its normal way, vizika, and caused damage, just went in and started eating things up. Then, you know, that's my fault, and that's my responsibility, and therefore, mishalemes ma shehazika. I have to pay for what was damaged. I have to watch my sheep. I can't let them walk into your backyard, and if I do, then I have to pay for it. The Mishnah says, ketzed mishalemes ma shehazika. How do you figure out how much is the payment for the hezek, for the damage? So, shaman besa ba'osa sade, kama haisa yafa. You measure, you evaluate, you know, you appraise, that's what, appraise a base saw, that's like 50 by 50 almost, of like a whole field's worth, ba'osa sada, that particular field, kama haisa yafa, how much it was worth before my animal ate, the kama hi yafa, and how much is it worth now? In other words, you know, just to make up numbers, that base saw had, you know, your, a base saw worth of field had, whatever it is, you know, 100 bushels of tomatoes, and my sheep ate half a bushel of tomatoes. She left with 99 and a half bushels. So the question is, what would a field laden with 99 and a half bushels go for as opposed to a field laden with 100 bushels? And obviously that's much less than just what's half a bushel worth. It's mixed into the price. So that being the case, whatever, that's how you look at the damage done to the whole field, not to the particular damage done to those particular tomatoes. The tomatoes look as like subsumed as part of the field. Now, Reb Shimon disagrees, and this is the halacha. He says, Omer, achla peres gemurim. He says, listen, if the sheep ate whole tomatoes, whole ripe, ready to go, red tomatoes, so those tomatoes aren't part of the field anymore. They're divorced from the field. They're tomatoes sitting on a field, having to attach to the vine, but come on, you can't consider the damage being done to the field. The damage is done to this particular tomato, and this tomato was ready to go to market and be sold, it just happened to be sitting in the field. That being the case, so then, mishalemes peres gemurim. Then you should be paying for the full cost. The negligent owner who let his sheep walk into the neighbor's backyard and eat his ripe tomatoes should be paying for the value of tomatoes. The value of tomatoes, not to damage the field, because they were there once they're fully ripened, they're like not part of the field anymore. Imsa, saim, sasaim, sasaim. You look at how many bushels or whatever the sheep ate, and that's what you pay for. And that's the din. The din is, if the field is full of unripe produce, then you look at just the damage done to that unripe produce as the damage done to a field in total, at least, you know, 50 by 50 alma field. If the fruit are complete and finished and ready to go, they divorce from the field and you pay full price for the damage done to those particular items of produce. Okay?